Good morning, each one. Good to see each one in the house of the Lord this morning. I really enjoyed our discipleship class this morning, particularly redemption. And if you can see up on the board, the title of our message today, The Veil Revealed, maybe some way we can see how they tie together. So if you would, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, we'll pick up in verse 12. See, Paul was writing here to the Corinthian church. And he says, seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remains the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Let's go on with verses 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Today, verse 16 will be our key verse. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. So with God's help this morning, I want to try to show you three things, and there are more, but I try to show you three things that we need to take away from this passage here of Scripture. And that is, we want to see what the veil is. We want to see what it is to turn to the Lord. And we want to see what it is to have the veil taken away. And each one of us here as a child of God this morning should rejoice as we think about what God has done for us. Such a blessing. So many times we're just so guilty of taking things for granted. But we need to stop, and I'm sure that we all do, maybe we need to stop more and just think about what God has done for us. You know, I was thinking there, and I didn't make many comments in our Sunday school lesson this morning because of my message today. But I was sitting there thinking, as we was going through that, being one of God's chosen. Do you really understand what that means to you? Being one of His chosen. Being one of the ones that the veil was lifted. So what is the veil? What is Paul speaking of here? Well, let's kind of look at this veil a little bit and get an idea of what it means. This veil represents unbelief. The old covenant was veiled. It was shadowy. It was made up of types, pictures, symbols, and mystery. So we could say that the veil is symbolizing spiritual blindness. And I would be so brave as to say that we've all been spiritually blind. But we as God's people, no more. No more. No more. Kind of sum up what Paul is saying here in these verses to these people here, mostly Jews. This kind of had maybe a different meaning to them. And we're going to see what that meant to them, but we're going to break it down and we're going to see how it relates to us today. You know, Paul used the veil that Moses had worn over his face to symbolize the spiritual veil over the heads of many of the Jewish people. And in their devotion to the old covenant, they were unable to see the glory that was available to them. But the Spirit of God is the one who lifts the veil and enables believers to behold the glory of God in the face of Christ. And it is the hope of glory that emboldens believers to proclaim the gospel. With the veil removed, all believers should reflect the glory of the Lord. This was what Paul was trying to get across to the people here in this particular time. So, as I said, veil maybe meant something different to them when the word veil was used. So I pray this morning that God will just reveal His word to us this morning with all the power that He has, that we will just open up our minds, open up our hearts, that we can hear, we can understand what it means for how that veil taken away. Don't take this message lightly this morning. If you're here a child of God, you cannot take this message lightly. You have to look back into your life and see where you were and see where God has brought you to this day, this morning, this minute, right now. Because it was His work. It was His work. But what does this veil mean to these people? What does it mean that there's a veil upon our heart? Well, let us first understand that the veil was the people, that the first understand what the veil was to the people Paul was writing to. We need to understand that. The ancient veil was worn by the Eastern women, completely covered their head. It was a thick covering they wore over their face when they went out in public. You remember back over in Genesis, you know, that Judah didn't recognize Tamar, even though she was daughter-in-law, because she wore a veil that covered her head. And if you know the story, I don't have time to get into that, but Tamar, she had married Judah's son, but he died. And then when he died, Judah wanted her to marry the next son. But there was problems there. So he promised her that she could marry the youngest son. Well, that time come and that didn't happen. So Tamar, she kind of fooled Judah. She put a veil over her head and she waited on him out on the road. And if you want to know the rest of the story, go read it back in Genesis, because I'm not going to tell you. But that she wore that veil over her head so that he would not recognize her. So when Paul was speaking about a veil, these people know what he's talking about. It's a cover. And we can also see over in Exodus, we studied that the veil of the tabernacle, which separated the Holy of Holies from the holy place, it was very thick. It consisted of four different coverings. And like these coverings would be sewn together, quilted together, and it would be very thick. You could not see through it. You couldn't see through it. So this morning, as we understand what a veil is, it will help us to understand what I mean when I talk about a veil upon our hearts, the heart of man. We need to know that this veil that's upon the heart of man is so thick and so dense that we can't see through it. No light can come in. Completely covered. We can't see. Can't be seen. So as we look at that, the heart, we look then at the veil upon the heart of man by nature. This is by nature. We're totally depraved. We are depraved. So when we look at this veil that covers the heart of natural man, we have to have this idea in our mind and understand that this veil is impenetrable. Can't see through it. It's a covering so thick and so dense. It covers our heart. But we can't see out. We can't see the things of God if we wanted to. We've been blinded. So to be able to understand what the Spirit of God means by the veil being taken away in verse 16, we have to understand what that veil is. So now we look at the veil over man's heart. And as we look at that veil, as I mentioned, the veil has several layers. Well, let's just say that man's heart is covered with layers. That first layer is ignorance. Don't sound too good, do it? But it's the veil of ignorance, we'll call it this morning. And what a thick covering that is. So think back. Think back to your younger days. Think back to days when you were lost. Didn't we all walk in ignorance? Sure we did. The doctrines of grace and the whole plan of salvation, it was hidden from us. We was blind to it. We couldn't see. We didn't understand. We didn't understand one truth about the gospel. We didn't even understand our lost condition. We didn't understand what the end of our life was going to be. It's covered. Couldn't see out. Couldn't see. Couldn't understand. I think Isaiah kind of mentioned this over in chapter 25 and verse 7. He seemed to be speaking of the veil of ignorance there, where he says, "He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations." And again in chapter 60 and verse 2, he says, Isaiah says, "Darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people." And then in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul says in Ephesians 4 and 18, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from this life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." Is this beginning to sound like the person you used to be? Well, if it don't, let's go a little bit further. I want you to see what you used to be. We have to understand what we were, who we were, to be able to understand really the grace of God and what God has done for us. This should be a feel-good message to God's people. And if I don't sound like this is a feel-good message, it is to be a feel-good message. When I was studying this, I began to feel things that, you know, I didn't even think of, had maybe even thought about before. Think about how God was so good to me, how God is so good to His people, how He is so faithful to His people, what He has brought me out of, what He has brought me unto. All these things began to run through my mind. I want them to run through your mind too. Because we don't give God the praise He's due, folks. We don't. We don't. Not through the life that we live or things that we do. We don't give Him the praise that He deserves. He did something for us that we couldn't do. We had no desire to do. Didn't want none of it. Because of the blindness of the heart, they couldn't see, and we couldn't see. But the veil of ignorance, it's not the only veil that was covering our hearts. The veil of unbelief. You know, if we could remove that veil of ignorance, there would still have been the veil of unbelief. No matter what we could have done, if we had a desire, it wouldn't have done any good. Reminds me of the scribes and Pharisees. And just think about what they witnessed Jesus do. But that didn't remove the veil, did it? That didn't remove the hardness of their heart. They seen Him raise the dead. They seen Him give sight to the blind. They saw Him bring the man that couldn't walk. They saw He could get up and walk. The lame could walk again. All kind of miracles they saw. But it didn't take the veil away from their heart. And they saw it with their own eyes, but it didn't have any effect upon them. I think Paul summed it up when he said they were shut up in their unbelief. We were too. It's easy to talk about the scribes and Pharisees and their unbelief. It's easy to say, well, man, if I could just been there with Him, if I could just seen Him do that, If I could just see him take that clay or dirt and spit on it, rub it on a man's eye, and he could see, boy, I would have believed. You wouldn't have believed no more than they did. No more than they did. That's just the state that we're in. It's our nature. Unbelief has such a hold on our hearts. We cannot believe the things of God. We have no desire for the things of God until that veil is removed. God has to do that. And He does that through His divine revelation. Well, there's another veil over covering us, over our hearts. How about self-righteousness? Self-righteousness. Boy, what a state we are when we're that way. We're in an awful state. We're full of evil. We continually sin. It's like we're daring God to do something about it, God. So we go about, we set up our own righteousness. This is where we were. I hope you're understanding that. We're talking about where we came from and how we got to where we are today. We're talking about what God has done in our lives. And yet we don't give Him His just due. And have mercy on us. That veil over man's heart just... He can't do anything to please God. Not in that state. Even if he wanted to. But when you were lost, did you want to do anything to please God? You might have wanted to do something to please mom and daddy, but you didn't care nothing about doing anything to please God. Didn't think about Him. Even though man in his lost condition, he knows that he's a sinner, but because of his self-righteousness, he don't care. He don't make the first step in turning towards God. He don't take that first step. We'll see that in a minute. Then there's the veil of prejudice. The natural man's mind is prejudiced against the truth of God's Word. Not only against God's Word, but those who profess it, those who preach it, those who teach it. Boy, that's awful for somebody to feel that way, isn't it? I felt that way when I was lost. It was just foolishness to me. I had my opinions, and that's all that mattered. But when God began His work, things change. And when He begins His work today, things change. But then there's another veil that we could look at, the veil of enmity. And what does the Bible say about that? The Bible teaches that God's Word is enmity against God. And what better enmity there is than man against the truth of the gospel. And as I said, really against all those who would live godly in Jesus Christ. World don't think too much of us. We're to love one another, and we need to love one another. We're not going to get much of it out in the world. That's why we don't need to be out there in it. Then there, this covering covers our heart, and we could call it pride. Pride. Boy, that's a thick veil. We have so much pride that sometimes we won't submit to the truth of God's Word. Our way or no way. Yeah. And then there's another veil. The veil of hypocrisy. It's pretty rough, don't it? We think about what used to cover our hearts, all these things. The Bible teaches that a hypocrite is someone who puts on a mask and pretends to be something that they're not. So in essence, hypocrisy refers to the act of claiming to believe something, but acting in a different manner. I could run away with that one. I see so many people claiming to be something, and fruit they bear just don't give testimony to it. We have to be careful, folks. We have to be careful. We know that God's always looking, but maybe our brother and sister are looking too. Maybe the world is looking. That's why we're supposed to live as the light of the world. We're supposed to live example by the example that Jesus lived by. But are we doing that? Even are we doing that now? We know we used to didn't. But all these covers, one upon another, they are so thick over man's heart by nature. But God's word just can't reach you. It won't reach you. Not by itself. He has no eyes to see, no ears to hear, no heart to feel. No conscience to submit to the power of God. Or the power of truth. Man is so depraved that the veil upon his heart prevents him from seeing the depths of his own fall. If you're a child of God, you know what it was to have a veil over your heart. You have experienced the darkness, the hardness, the deadness, the depravity, the hypocrisy, the unbelief. All that was in our heart. But now, all that was there. Might say, well, that's when we had a heart of stone. But God has removed that heart of stone and he has given us a heart of flesh. It's different now. And you as a child of God, you know that. Then the next step was to turn to the Lord. Turn to him with all our heart and all our soul. And then we could see and feel that there is a Savior. Then all our desires and our supplications, our longings, they will be for him and for him only. That's the great turning point. And lastly, the veil being removed, taking away the veil from the heart. This is when we know that down in our very soul that we've been adopted into God's family. Part of God's family now, brothers and sisters. Jesus Christ is our brother. God is our father. Yeah. We know that we have been cleansed by his blood and that his righteousness has been imputed to us. We know these things. As before, we couldn't see any of it. We couldn't understand any of it. But now because that veil is removed, if you don't see these things as a child of God, you need to have a serious prayer. Because if you cannot see what God has done for you, how your life has changed, what different meaning life is for you today than what it was when the veil covered your heart, if you're still living for yourself, if it's still I, instead of God, I would encourage you to examine yourself. Make sure, and you can know. From God's word, we can know that we are a child of his. We can know. When God's Spirit abides with us, this is how we know. So as I ask you this morning, just as straightforward as I can, is God's Spirit abiding with you? Do you know for sure, for certain, that that veil has been removed from your heart? And if you do, you understand that it was the working of the Holy Spirit that did that. It was what Jesus Christ did on the cross. It was God sending Jesus Christ to be that sacrifice. You know these things. So as a sinner saved by grace, we learn to put the crown of glory upon the head of him whom it belongs to, the one that deserves it. Self's got to go. Self's got to get out of the way if we're going to please God. We need to learn to put Him first. We learn to give the praise and thanksgiving to God. We need to learn to give the praise and thanksgiving to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit. We need to do that, understand it. They are one divided, glorious, and ever-living God, both now and forever. So again, I leave you with this question this morning. Has the veil been removed from your heart? Has it? If anybody ever asks you a more important question than that, will you come to me and let me know? So you see, that's the most important thing that God has done for us. And He did it. He did it without any help from us. He chose us. We did not choose Him. So again, has the veil been lifted? God bless you and thank you. We can't see when we're in that condition. Man cannot see his condition. If he even wanted to. And that's one of the worst things I think about man's urn is that he can't see and understand the condition that he's in. But when that miracle of grace comes along, God begins His work, things begin to change. But that veil that covers a man's heart, it hides his condition. And until that veil is removed, he will never see, never know the truth. That veil has to be taken away. So the second thing we want to see this morning, what it is to turn to the Lord. What does that mean, turn to the Lord? Well, the first work of the Spirit of God on the heart is not to remove that veil. That's the second work. But to show man that there is a veil there. That's the first work. If I could use this expression like this, and kind of put it like this. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, it breathes on a man's heart. And when it breathes on that, it's kind of like the wind blowing, as John talked about over there in the book of John that we just studied. That wind begins to blow. The Holy Spirit's working on man's heart. And as that wind blows, it lifts up a little corner of that veil. The man begins to kind of peep out, begins to see. For the first time, he can see that there's a veil, there's a covering over his heart. We have to remember that the beginning of knowledge is to learn of our foolishness. The beginning of mercy is to feel our misery. The beginning of salvation is to know our condemnation. And the beginning of eternal life is to pass under the sentence of everlasting death. And we begin to see that, as I said, as the corner of that veil is being lifted. It's not gone yet, but it's beginning to lift. The Holy Spirit is working. This is His work. His work. That's the way the Lord, in His love to His elect people, as we talked about this morning, earlier, that's the way He begins to deal with man's conscience. And the conscience is the place where God always begins. As the Apostle Paul said in his own ministry, he said, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. 2 Corinthians 4:2. God begins to deal with a man's conscience when His Spirit, when God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, makes a man see and feel something of his lost and undone state before God. Because until that happens, we're not going to change. Let me be very clear this morning, you did not change yourself. We needed changing, but we didn't do the changing. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. We began to see realities. We began to see understanding. We began to see things about God. The truth of God comes to the lost man's heart, comes into his soul. God's Word gives light to his heart. And as a man began to see these things, the veil was beginning to be removed. He began to see eternal things in a clearer light. When this happened, it causes him to turn to the Lord. When God's truth comes into conscious a man, he begins to see and feel and know that there's a veil there. That there's a veil upon his heart. And then what happens? Then he will turn to the Lord, so the Lord will take the veil away. There is no true turning to the Lord until these things are spiritually and experimentally felt. And I said there is no true turning. Because a lot of religion, a lot of man's religion, they try to do this on their own. A person might try to do it, but he won't make it. God has to do it. God has to be one to remove that veil for a man to truly see and truly turn to the Lord. So we ask the question, what does turning to the Lord, what does that mean? What does it imply? Well, it implies this. It's a turning away from everything else, including yourself. Turning away from the world. Turning away from all of it. You know, a man will never know of his need of a Savior until conviction of sin is brought to his conscience. Conviction. Work again. The work of the Holy Spirit. You know, probably at one time we thought we could be saved by our works. But when we begin to see and understand a little bit, and God's law, it's condemned us. But we're free from that law. We have liberty, as Paul said there. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty, there's freedom. We're free. The veil is removed. We're free. You know, the Holy Spirit begins to show the lost man who the Lord is. That's the turning point in man. But the Holy Spirit showing a condemned sinner who God is. And then when the sinner turns to the Lord, it's with earnest prayer, supplication. Jeremiah said the same thing in chapter 31 and verse 9. He says, they shall come with weeping, and with supplications will I lead them. This is the way the Lord always leads his elect people. Or we could say the people of his choice, couldn't he? Because he chose us. So we are the people of God's choice. We were. At one time, the man that had his heart covered with veil, he could not see, didn't care about the things of God. But the Holy Spirit has began to work in that man. He's began to work. And that work don't stop. That's the way the Lord always works with his people. No other way. No other way. He gives us that desire to ask in prayer. And then he graciously answers the prayer. Jeremiah 29:12-13 says, he said, Then shall you call upon me, and you shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and you shall seek me and find me when you shall search for me with all your heart. Man's not going to do that until that veil is removed. He will not do that. So this leads us to the third point. Our message this morning. The removal of the veil. There are three things that we have to know about the veil upon the heart. We have to know, we have to come to understand that the veil is there. We have to have that knowledge to know that there is a veil there. The second thing is discerning to the Lord, that He will be the one. He's the only one that can take that veil away. And then the removal of it. And as Apostle Paul says there in verse 18, he says, But we all, with open, or as literally, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. So the veil is taken away when the sinner turns to the Lord. And why do we do that? What causes us to turn to the Lord? It's the work of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that brings us and shows us. And now He continues to teach us and to guide us. It wasn't just a one-time work. It wasn't just a work in the heart of lost man, but it's a work in the heart of all of God's children. His work. The veil's taken away when the sinner turns to the Lord. The light of His countenance, the beams of His grace, and the shedding of His mercy removes the veil. And what do we see when the veil is removed? Well, we don't see God until the veil is removed. We couldn't see, we couldn't hear, we couldn't feel. We didn't care about anything was right, but we just kept stumbling around in darkness. But when man turns to the Lord, man gives himself wholly and solely to Him in faith in Jesus. And all this was because of the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's what Paul was speaking of in chapter 4 and verse 6. Right there close to you. Chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Again, what wonderful things God has done for His people. Wonderful things. But until the veil is removed, we cannot see the glory of God shining forth in the person of Jesus Christ. But when that veil is removed, what do we see? What do we see when that veil is removed? We see in Him all the perfections of God. All God's perfections we can see in Jesus Christ. They harmonize with Him. We see justice and mercy coming together, righteousness and peace, kissing each other. We see these things. We see that God is just, and yet the justifier of those that believe in Jesus. We see that God can pardon the sinner and yet condemn the sin. We see that all the attributes of God shine forth in the faith of Jesus. We see that a propitiation has been made for sin, that the blood of Christ has been shed to satisfy all the law, and that a sacrifice has been offered up, which God has accepted. The sacrifice that Jesus Christ made, God accepted that. We have been justified by the blood of Christ. We've been set free. The veil has been taken away. again, can we not thank God and praise Him for that? You know, there are many people today trying to make themselves righteous, try to put away their own sins, try to purge their own conscience. They even try to reconcile their guilty souls to God through works. Through works. I've got a lot of different translations of the Bible, and I've studied a lot of different ones, but I've never found in one of them telling me where I had to work. Now, I need to work. I'm supposed to work. But not for my salvation. I can't add to what God done. But man takes away from it. Man wants to have a part in it. But it's sad to say that all those that put confidence in any other way of salvation, it may be hard, but folks, they're going to die and they're going to go to hell. If they're believing in any other way than God's way, if they're believing they can do good works and get to heaven, they're going to die and go to hell. And there are so many people out there and believe that. There are so many people that argue about God's word. It's like we talked about in Sunday school, and I just don't want to keep going back. But you know, so many people can't accept the fact that God did have a chosen people, that God did choose His own. They go to the book of Romans and read that and study that, where man has no right to question what God done. He's the potter, we're the clay. He can make a vessel to honor or dishonor, and He does. And He does it for His own glory. And who are we? Who are they to question what God does? I'm thankful that God chose me, and I bet you are too. You know a little bit about hell and what the Bible teaches about hell. Thankful that God chose you. Don't put confidence in yourself. There's no way of salvation but what Jesus has done on the cross for us. That's the only way. Through Him and what He has done. God made the propitiation for us. He did that through His Son. He did it. Jesus did that because He was obedient to God. But to all those that believe different, unless that veil is lifted, you're going to a bad place. So let it be our prayer today that God will lift the veil of these hearts. We've all got family. We got friends. You don't want to see them die and go there. Pray for them. Plant that seed. Water that seed. Pray to God. He says He'll hear your prayers. Pray. Don't have the notion in your head like so much of the world does. If you're in one of God's elect, ain't nothing you can do. It's all easy. It's all planned out. That's not what God teaches us. We got work to do. Preach the gospel. Witness. Think about where you was at. Think about where you was. Pray that God will lift that veil so His glorious light can just shine forth. So as this veil is removed, man begins to see and feel the inward sin that he was previously ignorant of. The removal of the veil not only shows us the glory of God in the person of Jesus Christ, but everything that opposes that glory. You know, the pride of our heart, the power of our unbelief, and the enmity of our carnal mind, our hypocrisy, and the fleshly lust, and all those obscene imaginations of our depraved nature. But as the veil is lifted, we see ourselves as we really are. And when we first see ourselves as really are, I'm telling you, it's not a pretty sight. It's not a pretty thing to look back and know what you were until God saved you, until God lifted that veil and all these things you couldn't see. But when that veil is lifted, you see who you are. You see and understand that you're a sinner. But until then, so as this veil is removed, man can begin to look on the things of God. And man does look on the things of God, but that veil has been removed. Man denies himself. He separates himself from the world. And he learns to live a life of faith in the Son of God. How precious that light was when the Lord brought us out of darkness. That was the precious thing. Precious thing. It's still precious. The unbelief, coldness, the deadness, the depravity that we struggle with, we don't have to do that no more. Now, we look forward to the teaching and to the leading and the guiding of the Holy Spirit. He is the one that removes the veil. He is the one that teaches and guides us. He is the one that brings us comfort. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity. He had his work too. God had his, Jesus had his, the Holy Spirit had his. And neither one of them is true. Jesus sits at the right hand of God. He's making intercession for us. The Holy Spirit is still working. God controlling it all. Never ends. Never will. It might end. It will end as we know it. This life will end as we know it. But then that life goes on for eternity. When that veil is removed, we begin to look more wholly into the Lord. The Lord of life and glory. We learn to depend upon the guidance of the Holy Spirit to work in us and to work out those things which will please God. You know. So now just a few words. Let me try to sum up this whole message. Remember the three steps? The veil felt, the turning to the Lord, and the removal of these veils. Now that's the three steps in our life as God brought us to Him.